This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
The time is 10 o'clock in the a.m. and time for flashpoints.
On Flashpoints, Greg Palast makes the case that Aaron Swartz died for Piers Morgan's sins. Also, more revelations on the independent investigation into the Canadian church and government participation in genocide of Indigenous children, and a look at Iranian revolutionary art. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We are joined again by BBC reporter and best-selling author, most recently of Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, Greg Palast. He joins us from New York City. Greg, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Glad to be with you, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you with us, and I want to talk to you about, well, two folks. Aaron Swartz, a young computer genius who recently killed himself rather than face, I don't know, 30, 40 years for what, liberating information. And then, on the other hand, you sort of talk about what happened to Piers Morgan for breaking the law, committing all kinds of felonies, profiting from it. And then becoming, I guess, sort of a refugee on CNN in the United States. You want to sort of remind people, let's start by reminding people who Aaron Swartz is and maybe unfold this tale a little bit.
First of all, it's and by the way, I've written a story called Aaron Swartz Died for Piers Morgan's Sin, because the idea is to explain what happens if you steal information for the wealthy and the privileged, or control information, as Piers Morgan does, versus the great liberator, the Robin Hood of the Information Liberation Front, Aaron Swartz. Aaron Swartz, at the age of 14, created RSS feeds. If you might be getting some of your show or information on gregpalast.com on an RSS, it's a way for you to choose news you need, not news chosen for you by editors, producers, or commercial interests. So you create your own newspapers, in effect. Then that was at the age of 14. Then he went on to create the massive website Reddit, again, to gather and disseminate information worldwide. Then he became an activist, forming many groups. And while he was still in his, I guess, a teenager, he went to the, he already became a fellow at Harvard University's Safra Ethics Center. He founded a movement, a free information movement, to stop the SOPA, which is the Stop Online Piracy Act, which was an attempt by the big information monopolists, from whether it's Time Warner to the Chinese Politburo, that you have to make sure that we criminalize the spread of what used to be considered public information. He was, he was the ultra genius by any means, by anyone's measure, and he used his genius first to liberate information from the federal courts. You know, with the court records are supposed to be public, but by charging a fortune for these records, it's been kept out of public hands. So when corporations commit all kinds of criminal activity and, you know, put garbage in our poisons in our water supply, the depositions and information are very expensive to get, even if they've been made public in a trial. He liberated all those court records, and also that includes, for example, that allows destitute prisoners to look over their records if they have, you know, if an injustice was committed. This is important. You know, if you charge for public records, as the Supreme Court once said, a tax is a way of destroying. Is the method of destruction. A charge is a method of destruction. So he liberated all the federal court records through hacking, but they couldn't touch him because in the end they realized they were public records. He then went after the, what I call the giant sucker squid of information, JSTOR, J-S-T-O-R, which is a newly created hypermonopoly which controls the electronic spread of university research papers. This is particularly devilish because it's saying that the research done at almost every university, almost every paper published in a journal by a researcher, that almost every paper published by a researcher becomes the property of this monopoly. And the excuse is that this is so they could help digitize and spread this information, which is baloney, of course. The professor writes a paper, puts it up on the web, and you can easily access it. This is very vital stuff. These are universities supported by the U.S. taxpayer. These are research papers which, for the most part, have complete or some element of subsidy by the public. And this stuff is needed. I mean, if we had JSTOR around when Isaac Newton was a professor, only a small little group would know about the laws of thermodynamics, and, you know, we'd have to pay, and then, you know, Microsoft can pay for this stuff, would have access, and so they would, you know, we'd be paying royalty on the use of gravity. So, you know, information control, like in any fascist system, is crucial. And so here was the guy that broke it down, but they arrested him. They arrested Aaron Swartz, the federal government, and charged him with felony crimes under new laws, a lot of it this anti-terrorism stuff. You know, instead of stopping Bin Laden, we stopped Aaron Swartz, and he was facing 35 years in prison for trying to liberate this information. And he, rather than face 35 years in prison or take a deal that would require him to compromise principles, he hung himself at the age of 26.
That's horrifying. We're speaking with Greg Palast. He's got a series of columns for Vice magazine. We're talking about part four in his Alex Jones, Guns, Piers Morgan, and My Penis series for Vice magazine. And we're talking about the very serious situation of Aaron Swartz. And you do refer to him in this very good column, Greg Palast, as the Robin Hood of the information liberation front. And indeed he was. And apparently they wanted to send a very powerful message in terms of hackers, in terms of people who consider themselves working for the people and want the power of information in the hands of all the people, are going to pay if they open themselves up or take a risk.
Yes, and, you know, they don't want us to know. You know, the idea, this goes back to, you know, the travails of Gutenberg when he tried to translate and print and disseminate the Bible through a new and cheap means of communications. This was supposed to not be public stuff or translated in useful form. And so we're going through this issue once again. This is library. You know, we used to have something called libraries. The whole, you know, it goes back a century and a half to the original public library movement and public schools movement, which we now take for granted, except for, you know, fights over budgets. But no one says, gee, a library is theft of information. I mean, this is the idea, is to democracy is based on information, and that's what scares them, democracy. So I wanted to contrast the real genius of Aaron Swartz to the officially designated genius called Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan is here in the United States on a special 01 work visa, which is known as the genius visa. Like, for, it's supposed to go for like Nobel Prize winners and stuff, so they could come, or special artists and accomplished people. So if you watch Piers Morgan, that's our specially accomplished genius artiste that was brought in, approved specifically by the U.S. ambassador to Britain, who signed off on that visa, who is, and you'll see at my advice.com, or you go to gregpalast.com and see, you'll see a picture of Piers Morgan and the U.S. ambassador at the Time Warner launch of Piers' show. And by the way, if you wonder how the ambassador got his job, he's just listed as a prolific fundraiser for the Democratic Party and Citibank vice chairman.
All right. Yeah. Well, tell us about Piers Morgan's genius. What was some of the genius that led up to him coming to the United States?
Well, as a reporter for BBC Television, which is kind of my day job, and I was also a columnist and investigative reporter for The Guardian and Observer newspapers of Britain, I ran into Piers quite often. He was the editor of a grotty little rag, as it's called, a tabloid called The Mirror. And his main job was to do political favors. It became a propaganda sheet for the Blair government. And but, you know, he made sure that he was well rewarded in one way. Again, we're talking about information theft. One thing that Piers Morgan did was he took insider information. He had a columnist who would give stock tips, you know, buy this hot little stock. Because he would look at the copy, he and the reporter would buy the stock, then publish the column saying buy it, and of course that was the stock would shoot up. Now in the United States, that's called a fraud on the market. It is called an aggravated felony. It's a breaking rocks on the chain gang crime. You get caught doing that. A Wall Street Journal guy was caught doing that and is in prison for that at this moment. In prison. And that's what you get in the United States when an editor pulls that stuff. You go to prison. That happened to a Wall Street Journal editor. But what about Piers? Instead, he got the genius visa. And again, you have to ask why. Because Piers had done major favors for Tony Blair and for the U.S. government and for big corporate powers. And he was to be rewarded, whereas Schwartz was to be punished. And I give an example of the type of favors that allowed Piers. First of all, why wasn't Piers jailed in Britain? The reporter, his co-conspirator, is in prison right now. Not Piers. Piers was also involved directly in the hacking scandals, and other editors from the Murdoch Empire are in prison. Again, Piers is not. He actually was involved in the hacking of Paul McCartney's wife's mobile phone, you know, for example. These are crimes. These are felony crimes. People are in jail for them, but not Piers.
Piers is a multimillionaire now, right? He's got $20 million in the bank.
He's worth about $20 million, and CNN pays him $2 million a year. Why? For a show that he took over Larry King's job and was paid $2 million a year to basically slice the ratings, you know, in half. How does that happen? How do you get rewarded? Millions have to be brought in from England to kill ratings and get rewarded. The answer is, it's not about the ratings. It's about the job he does, information control. He makes sure that what I call the feckless landlords of the planet are pampered on his show, that it becomes a platform for the usual misinformation and for non-information. You know, he mixes up the politics with interviews, for example, with Britney Spears. And that's what now passes for news in America. And, you know, we give an example. I was on Flashpoints with a cover story on how Mitt Romney made over $100 million secretly on the auto bailout. He hid it. That's a violation of U.S. ethics law. This is a big story. It was the cover of Nation magazine. That week, Piers Morgan had on Romney's sons to talk about what a wonderful moral guy their dad is and how fun it is to grow up with a trust fund. And, you know, this is the type of thing that Morgan does, okay? This is his job, and he does it well. And for that, he is to be rewarded for helping bury real information, which is important, by maintaining a puppet show in the guise of a news show, by when he steals information, they pat him on the head and give him a genius visa, whereas if you or I stole information, Dennis, if you and I bought stock and I said on your show right now, hey, buy, Zipper Company, and you and I had secretly agreed to buy Zipper Company beforehand, I guarantee you, Dennis, you and I would be breaking rocks on a chain gang right now. We would not get a primetime show. And so what I was trying to contrast is those who take on the system selflessly, like Aaron Schwartz, and those who crank the system, line their pockets, but are willing to, you know, Lewinsky, the landlords of the airwaves, those are the guys who get the rewards, and the people like Aaron Schwartz, you know, are entombed, you know, and we also know, you know, we have other information heroes like Bradley Manning. You know, this is our information. And suddenly we are being charged. The most courageous among us who will liberate our information are being charged for making public information public. That is a very dangerous thing. That is a bigger threat to these guys than Al-Qaeda will ever be.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Greg Palast, who's working on a series of columns for Vice magazine. We're talking about his column regarding, well, it's called Aaron Swartz Died for Piers Morgan's Sins. And in the context of the record number of so-called aliens who have been deported for, making a left turn at a red light, get thrown out of the country. Here's somebody who, as you point out, has got a criminal record, and he's getting a genius entry. It's pretty extraordinary.
It's more than extraordinary. I mean, I talked to a professor of immigration law. I talked to Santiago Juarez, who's a great immigration lawyer. He says, look, we have people. Well, there's an example just just last year, in which a 7-year-old girl from El Salvador was refused a visa into the United States, 7 years old, because she was to be brought in to give bone marrow to save the life of her 5-year-old sister. It was only after people were able to get publicity about it that they relented and gave her a 60-day visa. And then, scram, give out the bone marrow and then scram. We had just short of 1 million people in 2011 deported from the United States. There is no hearing if you're being deported for criminal activity. Now, what is criminal activity? Santiago was telling me, this is an immigration lawyer in New Mexico. He had one client, it was like the boyfriend had a joint in a car, right? So the girlfriend, who has been here since childhood but did not have citizenship but had a green card, had